Okay, we are on Zion Amud Aleph. We were discussing last week, we left off the issue of why bad things happen to good people.
I haven't met the person in any religion that can give you a real answer.
Well, we came up with some answer last week. We had an answer.
Really? This is the two of us missing.
We also defined the meaning of life at the same time. You know, it was really intense.
Matthew, you can do that.
Well, basically what we said last week were toward the bottom of the Amud of Zion, Amud Aleph, let's see, 3, 5, 7, about, I'd say about 10 lines from the bottom, we're up to the words Upligi Derav Meir, which is the middle of the line, about 10 lines from the bottom on Zion, Amud Aleph. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a few requests. According to the first Mount Omer, all three were accepted. The first was that he wanted that the Shekhinah should reside by Klal Yisrael. Happened. The second is he didn't want the Shekhinah to be by the Umos Olam. Happened. And the third thing is Moshe wanted to know Hashem's ways. And as it says, Hodieni no Esterachecha, let me know your ways. And they, what was bothering him? So the Gemara said that Moshe looked around the world and he said, how come you have a tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo? Tzaddik, bad things are happening to him, and you have a rasha, a bad guy, and good things are happening to him. Doesn't make sense. So the Gemara came up with one answer. The first answer it said was, which is before the two dots, about 13 lines up, said that a tzaddik, why do you have a tzaddik v'ralo? Why do you have a tzaddik that bad things happen to him? He says it's a logical reason. He says the reason is because he says tzaddik v'tovlo is a tzaddik min tzaddik. A tzaddik with bad things happen to him is a tzaddik when his father was a Russian, right? Tzaddik ben Russia. A Russia ben tzaddik is what? Why is someone who's bad, good things happen to him. He's a bad guy, but his father was a tzaddik, right? So the problem with that, there's a couple problems. First of all, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
If I'm a tzaddik, and my father is a Rasha, I should be rewarded. I should be punished for his
actions.
However,
when we say,
right, so that pasuk is brought down over here as well. And it says the only time we apply that pasuk is only if a person does the same thing as your father.
Right.
You continue in their actions. However, if you change and be a Baal Tshuva or whatever, then you're not going to be held responsible for their actions. So, but the Gemara didn't like that the first shot. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. Why should the Rasha, who his father had a great upbringing, greatest parents, greatest environment, he becomes a Rasha, he gets reward for it, he should get the biggest punishment. The person who's a Russia, you can't hold him responsible.
You pass on that the Schar of Now versus Schar of Ron.
Right, so we saw that Marsho, which is the famous Marsho. You'd rather punish zap him here and zap him there.
What we have here is pure rationalization.
That's, well, at this point, the Gemara didn't accept it either.
But that's all we have here.
Well, the Gemara comes up with a different explanation. The Gemara says, why do you have a tzaddik v'tovlo? Because he's a tzaddik gomor, he's perfect. However, someone who is a good person, but bad things happen to him, he's a tzaddik, but he's not a tzaddik gomor, he's not perfect.
And define perfection?
Gomor does leave that up to your imagination.
But
what? Well, why not?
No, we
have to emulate it.
But this is an intellectual exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to rationalize why we have ups and downs in our lives.
Right. That's the idea. At least how we think how Hashem would have answered Moshe. But it still doesn't make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. I mean, actually, the Beis Yosef asked, said, "What do you mean? First of all, what?" You're giving two completely separate answers over here. So that tzaddik, someone who's a Rasha, but good things happen to him, well, it's because he's not a complete Rasha. He's not a Rasha Gomer. What do you mean? You see in the world all these different things. You see Rishayim rotten to the core, and yet they're okay. Someone who seems like he's a tzaddik Gomer. Why is he bad things happen? So the Beis Yosef says a very deep shot. And he says that the two answers of the Gemara is really one answer. It's really the same. In other words, when you have one Gemara that says a tzaddik gomer and the other one says tzaddik ben tzaddik, it's really the same thing. Why is it the same thing? It's because in Judaism, we believe in Gilgul Neshamot. Right? What we see is not what we get. So if you look at a person who's a tzaddik, yeah, he is a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik gomer. However, we don't know what happened his previous lifetime, his previous reincarnation.
Right.
Exactly. So what he explains, which is a beautiful shot in that pasuk, of how could we be held responsible, poked avon avos? He says, avos does not refer to your father. It refers to your previous... Right. So therefore, the reason why, even if you're at tzaddik gomer, something bad happens to you, it's not because you did anything wrong here, but it's to misaken something which you did before. So that's what I mean, tzaddik ben Rasha.
Let me ask a question.
Rasha ben tzaddik. That's how he explained it.
Unfortunately, and he is a pediatrician.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at children, kids die who are infants. Sure. What do they do? How do they even have a chance to correct those, or to do anything?
But those are also guilty.
That's how they... I mean, that's how we have to understand it.
It could be a total tzaddik who just needed to spend another 30 days on earth to be able to get up. Okay?
Right.
And those 30 days, as an infant, he did, and he was Mr., and that was it. That's the explanation of that. I have a whole problem with this one.
What's the... I mean,
it's all based
yeah.
Okay, on previous religions.
What previous religions? Other religions are based on this concept.
Oh, really?
Go ahead.
Zoroastrianism believes in reincarnation. Hinduism believes in reincarnation. Okay.
What came first, Judaism or Hinduism?
Oh, Hinduism.
More than 3,000?
Absolutely. Zoroastrianism existed before Hinduism.
Okay.
So, what?
And there are a lot of similarities in other religions as well.
There's similarities, okay?
Yeah.
We talk about the concept of Mechaya Mesa. We're not talking about the concept of Gilgulim. The Zohar brings the Pinchas, and he is a Gilgul,
right,
he's going
right.
to be Eliyahu Hanavi, and da 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 da.
Right.
How many Neshamas are there? I mean, we have a limited, I heard about that,
like 600,000 Neshamas.
And that's his max. That's it. Once we fit that, we can't have any more Neshamas, right?
But the thing is, you have more than 600,000 Jews on your
because you have 3 million people, counting the women and children, it's your life.
There are 3 million Jews.
We're not all Jews.
Oh, okay. I mean, if you go under that,
these are very, very nice discussions.
Right.
They're philosophical discussions.
Yes.
There's no basis to any of this as actual fact.
How do you define fact? Fact is something you see, something you feel, something you can touch. What is a fact? We're talking about Gilgul Neshamot from last week. So what... Okay, you're right, it's not a fact.
Where did the idea come from?
Where's the source?
Where's the source of Gilgul Neshamot?
It's an interesting thing. If you look through the Torah, everything has to be read into it. It's not direct. It's hidden. It's not on the surface.
And once you reach your ultimate tzidkus, then what happens to you?
Then that neshama is taken out of this, what's the word, life? Or out of the cycle?
No more recycling.
Right, no more recycling. So then you don't have 600,000 neshamas. You've had many tzaddikim along the way.
But it's just 600,000 neshamas. Those neshamas are recycled or whatever.
No, but we're saying...
whether it's male or female.
If you still have more than 12 or than 1.2 million neshamas, females. Do it any way you want.
No, okay? The neshamas recycled. The neshamas will be gone.
But it's recycled for a purpose. When you're talking before you walked in, you know, never heard a sudden infant death. So Sophie has an answer. He says that somebody that tzaddik needed another 30 days, 4 months, 6 months, whatever it is, to complete whatever it is in this earth, and that person's taken out of ball game. They can't come back in. You know, can't. Right. There's no designated hitter over here. You're out. You know, finished. Right. You can't. It's not basketball. It's baseball. So the point being is that over the course of time, you had never 6 million Jews that went to the Olam HaEmes.
Right.
There were plenty of tzaddikim there. Plenty. Sure. The people that none of us can aspire to be.
Correct.
So, see, some of those guys were taken out of the equation. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. It's in this equation of this. Right. 600,000 neshamas, or even say it's male and female, it's got to be.
But it's more complicated than that, because the neshama can fractionate, and the neshama can.
Oh, here we go. That's when you have twins, okay?
Not when you have twins. They don't have to be twins at all. They can have. And the neshama can be. We say that we're all fractions of the neshama of Adam and Rishon. Adam and Rishon's neshama split into all the neshamot of the olam. But, you know, I saw a very interesting video that I had purchased when I was in Columbus, Ohio, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And this video was, they had this guy who was the author of the book, Many Lives, Many Names.